listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the show today, Your Ultimate Life. I got this beautiful background here with these two people holding this seedling. And it just reminds me of creativity, you know, the creation and new life and that kind of stuff. Gorgeous. And I'm thinking about creativity today, and I want to talk about that in the context of how you create life, your own life. And I don't mean how to create a new baby. We all know how that works, but I'm talking about the creation of how the life is that you live, the experiences that you have. So I titled today in my mind, Love, Create, Serve. And it was a bunch of years ago that I was thinking about when I started being a coach. Like, I started this journey back in 2008, I guess. And so, you know, not quite 20 years, 18 and a half, 19 years, something like that. And I started, I came out of the energy industry, and I had, you know, leadership positions there in the U.S. and Canada. For 30 years, I was in electricity and deregulation and a bunch of stuff. And I left all that in 2007. And in 2008, I started thinking about what to do. And I had a, you know, if you've listened to many episodes, you know that there was all kinds of interesting, or maybe not so interesting, struggles in life. But I had to decide, what am I going to do now? And I decided to do something that I had only dabbled in before that, and that is full-time creation, full-time creativity. So I began writing books and things like that, and I had been in music for a long time. I started my first recording studio in the early 80s, mid-80s, late 70s, but I didn't open it for commercial stuff until early 80s. And it was about that time that synthesizers started coming into, you know, big time. Electric Light Orchestra, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and Yes, and a bunch of groups that old people who are listening will recognize and young folks may not. But there were a lot of synthesizers. And that there was a group that I saw do a soundtrack to a movie, and this is what got me into that. There was a B movie that was made once upon a time called Thief, and it had James Caan, and it was about a guy who was a professional thief. And the movie was, yeah, whatever, not very interesting, and the plot wasn't very interesting. And like I said, it was a B movie, but the soundtrack to the whole movie was done by a group named Tangerine Dream. Now, if you're into electronic music, Jean-Michel Jarre and Tangerine Dream and Vangelis, who did Chariots of Fire, that kind of stuff, that was big at the time. And they did the soundtrack to that movie, and I was absolutely blown away. I saw that movie, and I didn't, yeah, movie is whatever. When I came out of there listening to the soundtrack, I thought, I'm going to do that. I am going to do that thing. And that was back in the 80s, like I said, and that's when I first opened the studio and I got a lot of synthesizers and began doing it. That was during the time I had that 30-year career. So I ran the recording studio on the side and did that for a long time. And finally, in 2008, when I ended that 30 years, I said, I'm going into creativity full time. Now, part of it was therapeutic because I had struggled with decades of depression with accompanying problems that come with that, addiction and terrifying things. But in my recovery process, I began to think about creativity. And as the years have gone by, I've realized that if we're not creating, and I want you to hear this because this is going to be bold maybe or maybe not for you, but if you're not enjoying, if you're not using, if you're not leaning into your creativity, you're living your life empty. You're leaving half your life on the table. If you're not leaning into the creative aspects that you have on purpose. Now, whether you choose to make money with them or not is a different issue. I have found now, after lots and lots of years, that making money is actually really important with it. Not because there aren't other ways to make money, because there's boatloads. Money's easy to make. It's actually not that hard. I used to think it was hard to make money. It's not. Making money is easy. But there's something about making money with your creativity that's powerful, because it's like putting it in a crucible. It puts it to the test, because other than that, it's just a thing you do for fun. And there's plenty of things to do for fun. Again, nothing wrong with that. But here's the thing. Tomorrow night, on the 25th, I'm going to give a concert. And so I'm going to tell you about that. But more important than the concert, it's how I got here. Okay, so if you go to my Facebook page, Kellen Flukiger, you can't miss it. There's only two of us on Earth. The other one's my son, and you can tell the difference. I'm 70. He's not. So there's an event on that page called Rise Up in the Light. Rise Up in the Light. And it's a concert I'm giving tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Mountain Time, which will be 6 in Pacific and 8 Central, 9 Eastern. And it's only going to be an hour, but it's all original music. Now, this isn't the first time I've done this. 2-3 years ago, I did 2 concerts. Last month, I did another one. I did a concert last month, and I'm doing one tomorrow, and I'm going to do one in April and then one in May. And then I'm going to do one every month for the rest of the year. And they'll all be about an hour, and they're not just music. They're stories and songs that come out of chapters of my life, things that I've learned, struggles that I've been through, victories that I've had, struggles and failures that I've had. And here's why this is important, because it's not really about me. Like, yay, Kellen, it's not about that at all. Who cares? I'm just a person. What it is, and the reason I'm doing it, is because I love you, but I want you to consider your own creativity. I want you to consider your own yearnings, the things that you would love to do to create that ultimate life. Now, I've called this show Your Ultimate Life for years. We started with the podcast a couple of years before we were here on LA Talk Radio, but we've been doing the podcast now for 6 years, and I think this is our 4th year here. But anyway, it doesn't matter. For many years, I've been thinking about this ultimate life, because, you know, that phrase YOLO, Y-O-L-O, you only live once, and often that's used as an excuse to take ridiculous chances and so forth, and maybe that's interesting too. But the truth is, you do only live once. So since that's true, why wouldn't you live on purpose? Like, absolutely on purpose, like have a reason to get up and to move and to do and to be and to live and to breathe and to love and to build and to create. A reason besides, oh, I need to make more money. I need to have more stuff. And, you know, I, like anybody, when I was much younger, I thought making more money, and at the time I was in various corporations, getting up the ladder in the corporate thing and making more money, I thought that was all there was. Ooh, that's big. You get a title and you have people that work for you and you make more money, and then you get a car and you get an office and all that kind of stuff. You know, that was not the happy place. And I hear that over and over again. Today, as a coach, I talk to people all the time who, I spent 20 years in corporate and I hated it. Now I'm on my own. I spent 15 years. I only spent 5 and I knew if I stayed anymore, I was going to die. People are driven. You are driven, as you listen to this, to do the thing you want to do, to create. Like this beautiful sapling, seedling that's in the picture behind me. So the concert tomorrow is not the point, but I want to invite you to it anyway. Rise Up in the Light. Go to my Facebook page. Sign up. You do have to sign up ahead of time. You have to register, or you won't get the Zoom link to attend. It's a Zoom concert, but you can't have the link unless you register so that we know who's coming. There's a funny story about that from 2 years ago when we did a couple of them. The second concert we did 2 years ago ended up with this disaster because we didn't do that. So that's different, and that story isn't for today. So here's the thing. I've got this concert, Rise Up in the Light, tomorrow, and I'm ready. I feel good. I'm practiced. I've focused, etc. But the concert's not the point. Okay, that's what I'm doing. Who has to stand on that stage? Now, this is Zoom, but I've done a lot of performing. speaking and music performing in my life. But the question is, who have I become? Or who do you need to become to stand on the stage of your life? Now, whether it's music or not doesn't matter. In this, my offering. Because I'm not doing the concert to get a lot of applause and people to say, yay, Kellen. I'm doing the concert because I want to serve with my stories and songs, not about me, but because I think they represent common experiences of humanity for all of us. Seasons and stories of victory, of defeat, of struggle, of overcoming, of growth, of forgiveness, of mistakes. All of those things are part of our shared human experience. So I invite you to do that. Go to my Facebook page and sign up. But today, the name of today is Love Creates. I decided those were the three words that represent my life. You know, we can write lots of phrases and sentences that says, I want to live in a big house here and I want to have this much money and I want to do whatever. Love, Create, Serve for me represents the essence of everything. So what do I mean by love, create, and serve? Well, I'll tell you. Love, we've talked about this before, it's not a feeling. We do get a feeling, a collection of neurotransmitters, when we are in love, whether it's romantic love or brotherly love or service-oriented love or patriotic love or protection. Those are language has about eight words for love. And instead of saying, you know, brotherly love or romantic love, all kinds of things, they actually have a different word for those things. And I thought that was really cool. Love is simply a choice to use your gifts and talents to serve somebody. I say spiritual, physical, emotional, mental gifts, but it doesn't really matter. That's just my arbitrary breakdown. But if I choose, or you choose, to use your time to help somebody, you're loving them. If you choose to use your money to help somebody, you donate to a cause, you're expressing love. You are. And if you choose to go work in the food soup kitchen or, you know, be busy for a cause. Maybe you're overcoming blindness or illiteracy or water, cleanliness in water, or maybe you're politically active. You do it out of love. Now, some people do it out of hate. We see a lot of that today, a lot of hatred, death to this and that and the other. But hatred doesn't win. Love is going to win all the time, period, in the end, no matter what. And it's more powerful. So my three words are love, create, and serve. And I want to ask you what yours are. If you had to pick words that represent the most important things for you. You know, there was a time when I would have said security in terms of, you know, financial security and stuff. None of that stuff is on the radar anymore. It's important. We got to have money to live. But to love, to be loved, to give and receive love, to serve each other, and to use your creative gift. You want to live your ultimate life? Figure out how to use your gifts and talents to serve and to make money. That's it. Figure out how to use the things you love to do to serve others and make money. You win. That's it. All right. So then let's talk a little bit about how to do that. Because I had the chance to interview somebody for a podcast earlier this week, a couple of days ago. No, today's Tuesday. So last Thursday. Last Thursday, I interviewed somebody for a podcast that's coming up on my other show in a few weeks. And he's a coach also. And is very, very, very successful. He retired about a year ago. And I was just asking him, you know, what he does when he meets people and how he, not really how he prospects or signs clients, just his way of interacting with people. And he and I had a really strong agreement on one point, and that's around this idea of love. Not some squishy thing, but just how you approach people. So if you have a, if you meet a new person, you can meet them and not know who they are or what they are. And so you can withhold, you can sort of be neutral toward them until something about the interaction pushes you. Okay, I like them, or, ew, I don't really like them. That's what most of us do, or most people do. I don't do that anymore. I used to. I withheld. I was neutral. I don't do that anymore. Here's what I do instead. And it was interesting because this fellow I interviewed said exactly the same thing. He decides ahead of time, I love them. I absolutely love them. And here's why I can do that. And you can too if you want. You and I were created by the same force, whatever you call it. Intelligence, organizing intelligence, conscious unified field, whatever you want. God, I use God, but whatever it is, there is a force that's way more intelligent, benevolent, powerful than we are, and that is where we came from. Well, we all came from the same place. We all came in the same family. There's way more common in our beingness than there is difference. All that other stuff we invent. So the truth is, I can say without even thinking, I love you. I don't need to know you. Knowing isn't the trigger to loving someone. Now, some people have said, you love those that you serve. My experience has been that also. Maybe yours too. You probably have done this. I've served in soup kitchens and gone on food drives and done kind of stuff to help in the community and church. But you know what happens? Especially, I spend a day in a food kitchen preparing food all day long and then serving it at dinner time. I had this tender feeling, this warmth as I did all that work. And as I watched people come in and give them stuff and look at their faces and their hearts and their lives and stuff. I felt great compassion. I loved them. I didn't know anything about their stories or their needs, or, and I didn't care. I loved them. So what I heard in this interview was he chooses ahead of time to love. And I was excited about that because I do the same thing. And it is such an ennobling feeling. It's light and it's beautiful and it's easy and it's a big contributor to, guess what? Your ultimate life. A life that I consider ultimate, meaning there couldn't be anything better, is a life lived in purpose, prosperity, and joy. And loving every person is part of that. And I know that might seem hard. Like right now in the world, we've got wars going on. Okay, we've got people angry at whether some of them are declared wars and they're hot wars and others are cold, you know. And then we've got crime and we have other people that hurt other people. You can love them anyway, because the truth is, I don't care who you are. If you went through the same set of experiences with someone else, you might very well do the same thing. So loving is the first thing. And it described his approach. The next thing he said is then, because he looks at them all the time through the eyes of love, whatever the interaction is, whether it's in the grocery store, the coffee shop, or in the living room, or on a street corner, or whatever, he listens. He listens to them. And that doesn't sound like anything. It's, yeah, whatever, I listen to you too. You're listening right now. Maybe half, maybe you're doing something else and I'm playing in the background. But here's the difference. The way he described listening was a whole different experience. He said, I listen with my eyes, with my ears, with my love, with my energy, with my attention, with my soul, with my spirit, with my whole body and spirit and everything. And as he described it, I was laughing, not about that, because I could sense the intensity that he was trying to communicate about how to listen. And it reminded me of something I teach in my classes when I teach people how to sell or how to get clients, whatever your work is. The most important thing you can do if you want to get clients, I don't care what you're selling, is to listen. Here's what I used to do when I belonged to a BNI. I belonged to a BNI chapter for many years, not many, a few years. And in that networking organization, and in many, you're encouraged to do one-to-ones, to meet with people, to learn about their business. And BNI particularly is referral-based. And so you're encouraged to do these one-to-ones. You get to know each other and see if there's, you know, ways you can refer business and that sort of thing. And when I would do those one-to-ones, I would listen intently and I would play a game with myself. I would say, okay, they were usually scheduled to be an hour, right? And the idea was each person gets half an hour, whatever. And I never did that ever, not even once. Intentionally, here's how I went about it. I made the entire hour about them. I would ask questions right away. And I just kept asking them. And I did what my friend that I interviewed suggested. I listened and I kept asking genuine questions. What about this? Kids and school and sports and vacays and their business and how they got in it and why and what they loved about it, what they hated about it. And I listened and listened, and almost always, some in that time, depending on how comfortable they were, they would say, well, I'm talking about me. Let's talk about you. I want to know about your stuff. And often it was because it felt to them like it was awkward or something. It was never awkward for me. But no matter what, I would say, yes, I'll tell you anything you want to know. But, you know, I just have just another question. And then I would ask another question, and off we'd go for another 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And sometimes I would ask this, and this is a secret. And this listening business that my friend was talking about in this episode and that I'm talking about now is so powerful, it ought to almost be under lock and key. Here's what I would ask. I would look at people, and this is after I didn't know them, but except 45 minutes or 50 minutes into this 1 hour conversation. And I might have seen them many weeks in the networking meeting that we held every week, but you know, you get 30 seconds or 60 seconds to say whatever. And the one-to-ones were designed to get to know each other better. But I would ask them this. I would say, so how many places do you have where you can just go talk to somebody if you need to, and they'll just listen to you without trying to fix anything, without judgment, without anything, but they'll just like listen to you? And do you know what I found out? 95% of the time, meaning 19 out of 20 would have one reaction, and one out of 20 or less would do something different. And the one out of 20 or one out of 40, immediately, as soon as I asked that question, they'd say, oh, yeah, I got that. Because they knew instantly without hesitation that they had it who it was and they had a visceral body experience. They would lean, oh, yeah, I got that. And once in all those interviews, somebody actually said, oh, I have two. And they knew that that was a juicy blessing to have two, right? The other 19 times, and the first time this started happening has really surprised me, but here's what would happen. There would be a space, a quiet space, and then men and women, they would get emotional and even shed tears and look down and say none. Now, I want you to think about that. And what that has to do with business and life and ultimate life is this. People don't have a safe place without being judged or fixed or rearranged, often not with their spouse or even, quote, their best friends or whatever, because we are predisposed to judge and to listen with the intent of responding. Someone said to me, people don't listen to understand, they listen to reload. And I thought, oh, what a terrifying truth. So that listening with all your heart and soul is a key. It's a key to love. It's a key to your ultimate life. And then the third step in my friend's approach to coaching and getting, you know, making friends, making a difference, getting clients, whatever, was also to serve. So my three words are love, create, serve, and his are love, listen, serve, although he didn't frame it that way. But they're the same words, they're just a different truth. Here's something I want you to know. This is not a strategy. This is a way of being. And people often, when I'm teaching them about ultimate life or about business or about sales, they say, well, how do I do that? And the answer's simple. The first exercise, you know, if I want strong arms, I do curls, right? Or some other exercise. If you want to learn to love, you got to exercise your give a crap muscle. You got to practice putting yourself out of the equation. You're not front and center. What if you were just a beacon of light, a vessel of love, and a conduit of power? When I first started thinking about this sort of thing, I said, well, who's going to take care of me? Who's going to meet my needs? And that used to really bother me. Oh, you mean I have to just sort of suffer in silence and nobody's going to take care of me? And that's how I thought, because I couldn't understand how it worked. And it just happens. You don't need to worry about that. So here's the first principle about this love. I am doing this show because I love you. I am doing this show because in my journey out of dark and dreary places like addiction and failures and everything else, despite the fact that I had a, quote, successful career, I've learned something. I've learned that you're beautiful. I've learned that you're amazing. Every podcast, every episode I do here, every guest I bring on, I love them, and I want to share them with you because I love you. Love first. Create every relationship, literally every conversation you have all day long from a place of love. And you might think that sounds weird, and you know what? In today's world, it flipping does sound weird. And it is the most fulfilling and juicy thing I can think of. It is so joyful. Try it. If you can't do it all the time, take an hour and on purpose create every interaction from just a place of love. Like you care, you want. If you're not used to living that way, it's going to take some work. That's okay. The rewards are worth it. It's not a performance. So that's the first thing I say in my concert. I'm here because I love you. The people that are there that know me already know that. And the people that are new, I'm sure they're thinking, what? What did I get into? Some weird thing? And then I don't pay any attention. I just go right ahead and love them with my language, with my performance, with the stories that I tell. It's not transactional. We have been taught so much that everything is transactional. Give to get. What are you going to give me if I give you that? Whether that is my time, my energy, my money. We do it in stores and everything else. And we have to have commerce and trade. So I'm not trying to paint some weird woo-woo world where we don't have businesses, work, and make good money. I make great money. And it's fun and joyful. And every single thing is about love. Love, 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 love. And you might get sick of hearing it, but you know what? Love is fuel. It is the funnest way to live I've ever experienced. I'm 70 and I've tried a lot of ways. Okay, here's one way to think about it. You can choose to see someone's value. You can choose to honor them, instead of thinking about how they might honor you. many, many months ago, I introduced an acronym, WITOT, W-I-T-O-T, and I call it a fungus, the WITOT fungus. And it stands for what I think others think. Who cares? Who cares? What if the only thing you or I worried about is how we can serve each other, how we can honor each other? Can you just take a minute to think about what things would be different in your life? Not, well, if you do that for me, I'll do that unilaterally, because you and I, we can't control what anybody else does. But we can control what we do. And I've found that living that way is that ultimate life. I live in joy all the time. I'm excited. I'm happy. My relationships are beautiful. It's magic. It's the closest thing. It's not closest. It is magic. It opens doors. It creates wealth. It creates beauty. It creates inner peace. Okay? So here is some practical things you can do. Walk into a room, whether you know anybody or not, with love first. I love every person in here, and I can't wait to meet him. Most people hate networking because they're worried about, what are they going to think of me? Ooh, do I look good? Do I look stupid? Have I got spinach in my teeth, or is my hair uncombed, or whatever? Have I got a zit on the side of my forehead? And we're busy looking inward. If I walk into a room, or you do, and you're just loving everybody there and you can't wait to meet them, that energy is so contagious. No evaluation, no comparison. Love changes the field before anything is said. The whole interaction is different. Now let's move more to the intensity of listening. This is the lost superpower. He who listens best wins every single time. Not the person who speaks the loudest. Not the person who is the most articulate or the most overwhelming. Love without listening is noise, because the way we show love is to listen. Not just with our ears, but with our bodies, with our energy, with our presence. Listening with our presence says, I'm interested in you. I want to know about you. I want to have some of your thought, energy, and your wisdom and your presence. And right? It's just a completely different way of interacting, because we go into places wondering who's going to listen to me. You know, who's going to honor me? Or who's going to dishonor me, in which case we're afraid. No, nobody wants to talk to me. I'm nobody. I better go hide in the corner. Either way, that's poison. That's like throwing poison in the air, or fog gets in the way of the truth of divine exchange between people. I promise you, like I'm talking to you right now, I promise, promise, promise. If you go in a room intent on loving, and then just listening with your whole soul, so your eyes and your ears and your energy and your body, the way you lean, the way you stand, the way you focus. We all know what it's like to have someone, when we're talking to them, look at their watch, right? It's immediately an energy killer, a friendship block, all that stuff, all that simple motion. You can put everybody's defenses down if you just lean in and listen with your body and your energy and your presence. And the way my friend described it is listening with everything I got. And that means having no agenda. Okay? That means no judgment. I'm not trying to fix you. I'm not trying to one-up you. Oh, I know what that's like, because that was the time when I... people like that. Maybe you do that. Don't. That's done out of insecurity. I'm trying to prove something to you. Most people don't re-listen. They reload. I love that little phrase, and it's funny. So here's the outcome that will transform your conversations and your life and your wallet and your bank account. People transform. They change completely when they feel seen. And that became obvious to me when I would ask that question about places to be listened to. and people would weep. Strangers I didn't know. We would have interacted for 45 minutes or 50 minutes, because I usually didn't ask that kind of question until I had set the stage. And the way I set the stage wasn't a directed dialogue. It was energetically by listening to them in that way and choosing to be very interested. And people say, well, how do I keep the conversation going that long? Just ask questions. Care. Not about what they're going to do for you, but about them. And here's what I know. In my relationship in BNI, I made lots of money. Lots of money. Because people wanted to be listened to. I'm a coach, and they have businesses. And so I would hold classes, and you know, they would come and they would sign up. And they would sign up because I had good business instincts and good insight, and I could help them. But they also signed up because they just wanted to be seen and heard and acknowledged. And if you learn that skill, not only will you sell a lot of stuff, but you will love these people and you will love yourself. And your transactions will be different. Your relationships will feel different. People change when they feel truly seen. Okay, here's a note about AI right now. I have a client who had a coaching call with me earlier today, and he was using AI in the context of some business. And he has a very successful business, you know, worth a few $100 million right now. It's not 10 figures, not in the billions yet, but it is in nine figures, in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And so he was using it to do some business planning and some things like that. And he was describing that to me. And then he said something interesting. He says, you know, I've trained it how to talk to me, and I quite enjoy interacting with this thing. And that was fascinating, because I wrote a book a while ago called Coaching and the Rise of AI. Here it is, Coaching and the Rise of AI. And what I examine in that book is what I think AI is doing in the coaching space, you know, in the coaching profession. And I think it's going to decimate the coaching profession, that 95% of coaches won't be able to make a living by Christmas of this year, 9 months. 95%. And the reason isn't because, it's because AI is getting so good at simulating stuff. But the truth, if AI had asked that question that I ask, people would not have been emotional, because there's no energetic presence. AI is invincible at writing, at researching, at giving you ideas, at giving insights. And my client this morning gave me several insights that they had received in their interaction with AI. And they said, wow, this is so good. I love it. It's a great business coach. And yet he's been my client for 12 years. And there's no hint of any idea that the large language models can create the presence of being seen and listened to energetically. Of course, it just sits there while you tell it whatever. So it was just really interesting, because AI can absolutely simulate listening, but it cannot be there with you. Listen, learn to listen. Okay, next I want to talk about creation. Okay, my concert tomorrow is a piece of creation. I have 100 songs. 97 of them are in commercial release. I have 94. It doesn't matter, 90-something. I got three that I'm still working on over in the recording studio, which is over in that part of the house. But that is creativity for me. All kinds of music, electronic dance music, regular pop music with lyrics and stuff like that, and meditation music, and just all kinds of stuff that I love to do, right? That's my creative outlet. But the concert tomorrow is an expression of love for those that will come, because I want to share the commonality of our human experience, the successes, the failures, the struggles, the ups, the downs. Creation is our expression. Some people, creation is the voice of your soul made visible. Now, maybe you just have a beautiful garden. Maybe you just write books. And I say just, that's the wrong word, because just makes it diminutive. Maybe I just do music. I don't. And neither do you. I write books. I do music. I coach. I love people. I create safety. But I want you to think about what you do. How do you create? And it doesn't have to be something with your hands. I'm reminded of Mr. Miyagi in the original Karate Kid movies. You know, those beautiful trees that he shaped, the bonsai trees, I think they're called. Gorgeous and beautiful with that careful work. Art. I have a friend who was a client, not a client right now, but was a client, who's a world-class artist. Best artist that I personally know. Just astounding in his ability to create art and expression and pull out feelings through that. Okay, and this fellow I interviewed that I referred to earlier, he's not an artist. He's not a musician. He creates art in people's hearts by his listening and loving. So I want you to think about right now, what is your creative genius? Because you have one. And don't you dare say, I don't have anything. Don't you dare diminish yourself like that. You have several. And here's what I know. In fact, I invite you to do something right now. See this URL right here? YourUltimateLifePodcast.com. YourUltimateLifePodcast.com. Go there. There's a contact form if you'd like to talk to me. I have never been able, I've never talked to anyone where after a few 30 minutes of talking, they know that they have creative genius. Even creative genius they didn't know before, or they wouldn't own before. You have it. You're a divine being. You may not be using it. You may not be expressing it. You may have had it beat out of you. You may have been told that it's not valuable or it doesn't count. All that may have happened. I get that. But you have it. And the rest of us in the world would be really beautifully served by you expressing your full creativity. Creation is the voice of your soul made visible. And I want you to hang on to that thought and remember it. In the concert, those songs are all original, and the stories that I'm telling are also original. But they came from my own pain and overcoming, my own suffering and building, my own experiences and growth. What are your expressions? What are your pieces of beauty? Maybe it's in music. Maybe it's in art. Maybe it's in business. Maybe it's for conversations. My wife, I'm married to an angel. Okay, she's somewhere up in that light. No, really, I'm married to an angel. I was terrible at conversations, terrible at networking. I was shy and all that stuff all my life. I've learned to be beyond fantastic at it. And even with that, I don't hold a candle to her. She can go in places and airports, shopping, doesn't matter. 2 minutes, she's deep into conversation with somebody and they're having fun, both of them. And I'm still in awe. So every time I want a master class, all I got to do is hang around my wife, whose name is Joy, which is perfect for that beautiful light right there. Maybe your genius is in creating experiences. Maybe it's making it safe for people to share their feelings. Some people create products. Some people create breakthroughs. Some people create safety. Some people create a way for truth to be revealed. So here's the hard truth. If you don't create, you suffocate. I lived decades of my life burying my creativity, and it killed me. My depression, my addictions, my struggle was because I stomped on my creativity. Your genius will get buried. Your voice disappears. I want to hear your voice. That's why I invited you. YourUltimateLifePodcast.com. Go there and use the contact form. I'd love to learn what you do and who you are. Love opens doors. It drops barriers. Listening builds the connection. When you create, or invite others to create, you have something to exchange and something to offer. And the choice to serve is what delivers it. So I use the word love, create, serve to guide everything I do, whether it's this episode, music, interacting with my angel upstairs, the studio's in the basement, whatever it is. Love is the author and engine. What is your creativity? What is your expression? What are you doing to serve others? Can you imagine the world, whatever neighborhood you live in, can you imagine what it would be like if we all simply chose to serve each other? And that is not some woo-woo commune hippie stuff. We can make all the money we want. You know, I love making cash and using it to love and create and serve. You know, I spent years in the executive suites of businesses. I can tell you nothing fills the soul like service. Nothing connects our hearts like service. Nothing reminds us of the truth of who we are like service. And by service, I don't mean sacrifice and obligation and performance. And, you know, I'm talking about genuine, heart-driven, love-fueled service, generosity, awareness. That's another thing my angel does that it just blows me away. She is so aware of every person around her, what they need, what's going on. She just floors me. And this is something I've worked on now for a couple of decades. Small acts, intentional service, not accidental, and constant awareness. Service is where life itself starts paying you back. Call it karma, call it whatever you want. Remember, love creates connection. Listening creates trust. And creation builds value that you have to exchange. And service creates impact. You know what the result of that is? Wealth, influence or impact, and meaning. People sit around and whine all day, oh, I want to give back. I want to have more impact. Love creates serve. Love, listen, serve. It all is fueled by love. So if you tell me you want to live your ultimate life, then I'm going to ask you, what are you doing to make that happen? If I was a fly on the wall and I could hear everything you thought and see everything you spoke and did, would I believe you? Would I believe me? So here's my last invitation. If you want to talk to me, yourultimatelifepodcast.com, there's a contact form. I'd love to get to know you. I need guests. I don't need any. I love hearing your stories and having guests. If you want to go to the concert, go to my Facebook page. Rise Up in the Light. Come and join me. I'd love to see your beautiful face there. There's no ticket price. It doesn't cost anything. Yes, it does. It costs an hour of your time. And the songs and stories will connect us in our shared human experience. Now remember, this is not a show, and it's not about me. This is about sharing with you things that it's taken me decades to learn. And my hope is if I share them, you can learn them sooner, faster, and deeper than I did. It took me a lot of years and decades to understand these things. And yes, now I live that ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy every minute of every day. And you can have that too. And it doesn't have to take as long. It didn't have to take me as long. I didn't know. I didn't do. I'm sharing this all because I love you. And my goal is for you to have purpose, prosperity, and joy. And that always means, and I always say the cash part, because people hear this kind of stuff and they think it's all woo-woo. It's not. It's the secret to joy. It's the secret to that blinding light. It's the secret to that beautiful seedling. It's the secret to living every life, every day of your life, every minute, every hour, with fun. So ask, here's some questions as we close. Where are you holding back? Where and who are you refusing to love? Where are you not listening? Where are you not creating? Where are you not serving? Listen to this right now as we wind up. You create your life 1 minute, 1 second at a time. So choose. Choose to love. Choose to listen. Choose to create. Choose to serve and build something that matters. Lean in, and you will find and live your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.